radio stations. And I feel pretty open about the parameters about that. I'm not stuck on a $25 a year commitment. You know, it could be less money. Money is one way, but certainly not the only way. Volunteer time and energy, and there's lots of ways that that could be brought to life. And I feel pretty open that we should have a pretty widespread, you know, set of possibilities. But there needs to be some real manifestation of a connection to the station in order to be, you know, a member and have the rights of members. I'm also concerned about, in terms of some of the elections issues, about the frequency of the elections. I, you know, from based on what I've been told about what's gone on in Berkeley, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And based on all of our experiences on a lot of things at our stations, these things are complicated processes. So I'm concerned that we not be in a constant cycle of preparing for and then executing and then wrapping up elections and then getting ready for the next cycle. You know, so that's just a concern I have. I also support uniformity, not only in terms of an election model, but in other ways too. And I've said this for a long time now, that as important as it is to me to have five separately strong radio stations, I am just as concerned about having a strong network. And one way that we do that is by having some uniformity to how certain things happen throughout the network. I think the greatest differences in our stations probably will be in the programming. In, you know, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, what you turn on in one station is going to be different than what you're hearing in another station. And that's just a simplistic way of saying that. But I do support some uniformity. I also support greater powers for the local boards. I do not, in my mind, want to go to local governing boards. I like the construction of local station boards that have greater authority, partially because I think it's true that busy people who are engaged in lots of stuff, you know, how are we going to get them involved in this if there isn't something real that they're doing, and that's not just a fluff or a showcase. But I also think that the powers of these local boards need to be real and shared. Shared with the national board, shared with management, shared with other groups in the community, that we have to figure out all those sharing relationships. But mostly I'm concerned about the relationship between the local boards and the national board and the power sharing that goes on there. It's not about one group determining it all. And the power sharing within each station between listeners, staff, management, non-paid producers, etc. Two more quick things. One is I have a large concern right now, probably one of my largest concerns about who is going to run for any of these boards and how are we going to move, once we have these bylaws, into the actual recruitment of people and actually finding people to do this. And finally, I am concerned about the timing of this whole process, that we need to wrap this up. We need to, for a variety of reasons, our stations need it, the foundation as a whole needs a new governance structure in place. I don't think it's very healthy for the organization to keep, you know, dragging this out. We need to bring some closure to it. I also think we need to bring some closure to it, and this is certainly out of my own experience, because I, and I think a lot of us in this room, are being pulled by the other demands of the world that we live in to pay some attention to all the many national and international and local crises that are right on our front door. And if we're so involved in this bylaws discussion, it means that, you know, we're here this weekend, we're not home doing something else, or wherever we might need to be. So I'm concerned about wrapping it up, and I'll wrap up myself. So, anybody else? Carol? Carol?
I feel a sense of urgency that we need to get this done, and that this interim period needs to come to an end as soon as possible. And for me, that means that I don't think any of us can say my way or the highway. We all have to give, and nobody will be happy with the final bylaws. There will be sections in the bylaws that I do not like. I'm prepared to accept that, and I hope everybody else is, too. We're going to have to compromise here. For me, the most important, I don't know how to prioritize. I want our bylaws to meet the requirements of California law. Mm-hmm. And there are several things that are required. We have to specify the manner of election of the local boards. We cannot leave it out of the bylaws. It has to be specified in the bylaws. And once it is specified, the members will have to approve any changes. And if there's a class of members that has a voting right established in the bylaws, then that class of members will have to approve any change to their voting rights. That's something that's very important. We have to spell out how the local boards and the national board will be elected. And we can't duck that issue and say the local boards get to decide that. It's going to have to be in the bylaws. Legally, it's required. The other thing, we have to specify the number of national directors. I see this draft doesn't say. Well, it's required under the law. We have to say there shall be 15 directors, or there shall be a minimum of 10 and a maximum of 20 directors. But we have to specify either a maximum and minimum or a certain number. The other things that I I think that the governance structure is about accountability, and that the reason why a few years ago, maybe starting around 1995 in Los Angeles, and so for at least 7 years, people have been advocating moving to a membership organization is to establish an accountable organization. That was the reason for it. Who is accountable is the person elected. So the members can recall or demand certain actions of the people that they place in office. But the members, I hear a desire, an undercurrent frequently stated, that we want to empower the listeners. And I'm not in favor of empowering the listeners to run this network. I am very, very deeply opposed to empowering the listeners to run the network. What I want is a system that is accountable to the listeners, so that if the local board is screwing up, the listeners can correct them by replacing them. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's, I think, the only workable way to run an organization. We have several hundred thousand listeners. We can't get them all in a room together. We have several hundred that are interested in our governance, maybe. But they can't all be in the room together making day-to-day decisions or quarterly decisions either. So we have to delegate. The members have to delegate authority to boards, elected people, and hold them accountable. That's what I think we're trying to do here. And that's my position on that. I want to be clear about it. I think the local boards need a great deal of local authority. I am in complete agreement with what Kurt said earlier and Willie said earlier. It's based on 2 years of experience with an elected board. I've been on that board as an elected board for 2 years. Good, dedicated people come out and run to be on a board that has no power. Two things happen. They get frustrated, and they walk away, and they don't come to meetings. Or they get frustrated, and they become destructive rather than constructive in their manners of participating. Because, you know, you didn't run just to be window dressing. You ran to have an impact on that station. So I do think that we need local governing boards. And that those local governing boards should be accountable to the national board, which can overrule them.
What kind of things do you see they're probably saying?
I think they should hire and fire the local station manager. And I think that they should, that the local station manager should be accountable to that board. And that from that all other things flow in the station. If the program director is not, mm-hmm. if the programming isn't up to snuff, then the board will be in communication with the station manager about it, and the station manager will be expected to make corrections. I also think that the local station board should approve the local budget. But the local budget then has to be integrated into a national budget, and so there will necessarily have to be some give and take where the local board would approve the local budget, but then it would be integrated into a national budget and approved as a consolidated budget by the national board finally. Those two things I think are absolutely essential, and I think each local station board should then be autonomous in how it wants to set up, what kinds of policies it would like to see implemented at the station as to the character of programming councils and so forth. That at that level, they should have the ability to be flexible locally. I also want to say that I think we have to have a strong network. And I don't think those two things are incompatible. I think we will have a strong network if we have strong stations. And I think we will have a weak network if we have weak stations. And I think the network can be more than the sum of its parts. And that what I'm hoping will come out of this is a governance structure that links everybody together so that the five local station boards have local authority over what's going on, but can be overridden by the national board. The national board's not going to do that capriciously. They came out of the local boards. We can trust the national board if we set it up right, if the local boards elect the national board. But then I'd like to see the national board be a place where people from five stations come together and talk about national issues and how to oversee, how to develop and strategize, how to make the network stronger. That's through national programming, through the affiliates programming, through reaching out to other alternative information and news organizations around the country and building connections, through the archives. I don't think the national executive director or the national board should be particularly concerned with what's going on at the local level. I think that's done better locally.
What will the executive director do?
Oversee all of those things I just mentioned. Archives, national programming, affiliates, reaching out to and developing relations with other alternative media. I don't think the executive director should be required, as he is now during this incredible state of emergency and reorganizing and restructuring that we've been in since we came back, to going station to station putting out fires. I think that's a real squandering of a valuable person. The local
board should put out their own fires.
Yeah, I do. One other thing. I think membership in Pacifica Foundation needs to mean the same thing, station to station. We need to define our members. I think that we have identified stakeholders in the people who do the work, either as volunteers or as paid staff, and the people in the community who support that work, either through their volunteer time or money. And I think that the KPFA model addresses that very well and provides for a balance representation on the local boards and the national between staff and community members. I think our 50% requirement of women and people of color is essential. I don't think that it is in any way a distortion of the integrity of the democratic process. I think it's a commitment to diversity. That is a principle that we hold dear, and we set up our electoral process to make sure that that's what comes out. Just like the U.S. Senate is, it's not a one-person, one-vote system. It's a statement of values that each state is equally valued. I'm pointing this out because people have the idea that one person, one vote, or that we couldn't possibly see someone on the board who got less votes than someone else. Isn't embedded in the democratic process we exercise here in this country, in the Senate. So if we have a value that says it's the purpose of Pacifica to promote understanding and dialogue between people of all races, colors, creeds, and nations, then we implement that by making a commitment to having that on our board. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else? There are a few board folks who haven't said if anybody wants to. You're not required to, but if you want to.
Yeah, I'm a little bit tired. Okay. It's clear what's happening today is extremely important. I, too, want to see this business taken care of and a structure set into place that will allow us to function the best, better than we've ever done before in a very difficult time. I'm also concerned that we do the right thing. As much as I care about the process, the result is very important to me. When I think about the way this country was created and evolved, I look at the political process that empowered the minority, specifically white male property owners. And within that context, people could worry about applying rules, electoral rules, as well as you know, as sharply as possible. What I'm interested in is bringing those forces that are excluded from that process. And I'm not claiming that this is what's happening on this level, because one of the things that bothers me actually is the notion that when we disagree with somebody, or that we might even think that our position is better, is superior, or is more correct, and that's okay. But to think that that at the same time we should question where they're coming from, that the very intention is where I sharply disagree. I've heard some statement here indicating that some individuals are upset at the notion that there's a discussion of constituencies being involved. This is an idea that I support, I'm assuming, in an intuitive way, but it's an idea that has evolved as being one that would truly address the needs of addressing the mission for what it truly is. Not just in a legalistic fashion, but to indeed bring into this process the very forces, the very people that would not only mention as the constituencies within the mission statement, but that would save this network, because they would be in their interest to save this network, because their very survival is connected to the information, the ability to connect and build associations and organizations and survive. So for me, the way I interpret the mission is in a dynamic way, not only to create, to keep alive a radio station, because it is more than a radio station, but to have a medium that allows human beings, what we say organization, to thrive, to become stronger, and to make this network stronger, because it is vital to their own survival. So when I support the constituency model, it is not in a dictatorial fashion. It is in an open way where everybody has the right to criticize, hopefully in a positive, constructive way, and everybody critique, actually, because this can be done better, rather than because this is different from what I'm used to think as being necessary or as being the only element that can work. I submit to you that what the constituency model is proposing is something we haven't looked at boldly enough, that it is opening a door to a very serious problem and saying that if we truly want to address it, we have to think out of the box. We have to think beyond the tested, the true, and the safe measures. Many of the proposals that have been made here are guaranteed to work. They are working already, and they're being tinkered with, and they probably would work better. There's a tremendous fear, though, that this opportunity that we have, this failure that we faced not too long ago, is an expression, manifestation of the shortcomings of that institution, and that we cannot patch it. It did not almost explode or implode in front of us by accident. It included in its very seeds contradictions. And one of the main important ones is a lack of participation of the very elements that needed for its survival. And this is what this model is offering to you. So I'm asking you not to support it, but to take the time to be reflective, to be modest, and take the time, give it a chance, give yourself a chance to look at something that is proposed to you, not in a in an arrogant fashion, but it is coming from people's very life, people's very experiences. It's coming from people who have experience of struggle within the society. And this is what they think better for better for worse. Hopefully, they're correct. And but what I mean, they, if we do endorse the system, it will become our own property. It will become our own responsibility to make it stronger, to make it the best it can be, and to amend it when necessary. And that if we do indeed reject it, we don't reject it out of fear, out of suspicion. And that's where we are here today. We are at the moment which I think is crucial, and it behooves us to... And this is why, for example, from the very beginning, people would say, well, this hasn't been presented on time. To me, this is foolish. If you're really looking at something that is dynamic, that is indeed carrying the seeds of solutions, look at it. The other factors, I'm not saying that they're not valid in some now way, but they're much less important. And we're spending a few days here together, and I don't know whether we'll decide what to do with this and other ideas, but I'm asking that you keep your minds open and look at this as a way to guarantee what we believe is an essential component of this struggle, which is to bring these very forces into it and to make sure that each one of those key elements are present, not to wish that they can be and to hope that they can be and build on it better, but to grab this chance that we have today, right now, to seize upon it and make it the best we can. So I'm looking forward to working with you in doing so. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, well, George. I don't know if George wants to say anything. Okay, Charles.
I think that what this opportunity
Pull
is...
Pull the mic closer, please.
Can't see my notes. In this this opportunity presents us to develop a document that can guide this organization through its future growth. You know, I hear constantly the talk of the five stations, and we're not here, as you said, to discuss the future of the organization, but we are, in a sense, here to discuss the mechanism that allow the organization to grow or stay stagnant or to remain five stations or to explore other media to empower the downtrodden and those not only in this country but of the world. You know, I always thought that Pacifica would be a foundation that would seek to establish itself throughout the world, not just in these five markets. And I've always found that it's peculiar that when we speak of Pacifica, we only speak of the five stations, and we don't speak of the people in Ohio or, you know, or Iowa or Arizona or whatever, Florida, whatever other parts of the United States that are there. We strictly speak of the five markets. With this in mind, you know, we have to remember that the execution of what we're trying to do has to encompass those potential growths so that it can grow. The most critical thing we have to do here is establish a mechanism for change or amendment. As the organization evolves, so can the bylaws evolve, and that it doesn't become a burdensome document that limits, you know, the ability of the foundation to operate. And the reason why I say the foundation, because, again, the foundation in itself is separate from the five stations. It's an entity out there that is, in my mind, something that's, you know, going through nightmares in the sense that it doesn't have a grasp on what is going on. I think that you have to look at financial stability And these bylaws should have some mechanism to state or address the financial responsibility. The board here has a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that the organization is solvent. In none of our discussions have we discussed how your budget is going to be established, or can you deficit spend? You know, and theoretically, if this organization could get a line of credit, it could be in debt. You know, and in debt for what? You know, do you go into debt for capital expenses? Do you go into debt for operational expenses? And to me, those things are very critical because, again, this is a financial animal. And how do you address those issues? And those are things that we need to look at. In the sense of seeking an understanding of people, I don't see how this organization can set forth a governing board which does not specifically address diversity issues. You know, we in this room, there are many different backgrounds and many different peoples, and once we walk out into the world out there, we see all those people, and the problems that are faced by those people are largely unheard and unknown. I have been in situations where I've met people, Anglos, who have never spoken to a black guy in their life other than a house servant. You know, and that was initially it was mind-boggling to me. So, you know, the concepts that society will evolve and address these diversity issues on its own, in my mind, is fairly ludicrous. Also, the concept of governing boards. I think that one of the issues that no one has ever really stated here about governing boards is I do believe the stations should be managed by a local board, you know, as in any, here's the bad word, corporate entity, you have boards that give directives to the operating staff to set forth, and those local boards should do that. I think that one of the issues that we're not addressing is how those local boards will interact with the national boards, because the true fiduciary responsibility from the corporate sense is in the national board, and I think that everyone here needs to realize that you may be on a local board and you may be making decisions and setting forth policy for the station and providing directives, but the people that you send to the national boards are the true guys that will be responsible for what those stations do and what they produce. And again, in the Enron environment and post-Enron and WorldComs and Adelphias, that in that environment, those are some very serious, could be criminal situations that you're taking on. So I think that in a sense we need to address that. I think that my dad was at the Pentagon years and years and years ago, and we were talking about some civil rights issues, and he made a comment that no matter what you do, you can't legislate morality. And I think that that's one of the issues that we have to come to grips with here. If you do not trust the people that you set forth, or if you don't trust them, then there's nothing you can do to pigeonhole them so that they will behave in the manner that you so seek. And I think that everyone needs to come to grips with that. I think that the concepts of recall, and the concepts of referendum are great, as long as they don't get out of hand, because, again, you can get caught up in the concept of governing yourselves without achieving anything. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times when I talk to various people in Pacifica, they miss, or I feel that they're not seeing the point. When you talk about empowerment, or you talk about, you know, a guy who grew up in an environment where the odds were against him to begin with, he had no real parental involvement because that wasn't the nature of the environment he grew up in. How do you take that guy and how do you give those people opportunities, or the downtrodden? How do you give them opportunities to make themselves become self-sufficient? To me, the true essence of Pacifica should be the concept of teaching people a fish as opposed to giving them a fish. And a lot of times, and so often, I don't ever hear anyone address that aspect because, you know, you can't survive in this world without making a living. Not in this country, you can't. And anywhere else in the world, when you talk about global economies, you speak of, you know, the IMF and all these other issues, it all comes down to self-sufficiency and being able to feed yourself. And there are so many people that don't know how to feed themselves. And I don't necessarily hear Pacifica addressing those issues. I think that if people are eating, they have shelter, and they have clothing, they won't be so willing to backstab each other and cut each other and kill each other and go to war with each other, because they don't have those problems to fight. When you're having people fight to survive, you know, you can't expect them to behave rationally. And I think that those are the main issues. I mean, we need to think about all that stuff. And once we go through this process and think about where this process is leading us to, I think that, you know, everyone has the goal of, well, we're going to have an elected board that's going to have some local power and we're going to be able to control things. But the real issue is once you get that power and control, what are you going to do with it?
Okay. Thank you. I think George wants to say something, but in about a minute, we're going to have to break for this break right this second, and then we'll come back to George. So how long a break do we need?
About a minute.
Okay, so just take a minute. We don't have to. We can all just contemplate these wisdoms that we've heard.
Thank you. Go ahead. Spectre. Oh, should I stop there?
Okay, folks, we're ready. It was less than a minute. We're back. We are back. Okay, George would like to make a few comments, I believe. George? Shh, folks, let's listen to George.
I echo my good friend Charles's statements regarding local board, national board control. And I think it's very important that we have very clear instructions regarding recall. It not be an easy whim. It may be a high hurdle, but that it can be done. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that we have a short and concise document. Our U.S. Constitution is not that long. Mm-hmm. It's pretty short.
That's why you did the amendment.
Even with the amendments. I mean, what I've seen is in our amendment process, in our bylaws process, a lot of people who are all very, very well intentioned, but who don't have experience on boards. And I see that here as well. And we need to make sure that we have a workable document that will allow us to make our wonderful, precious network grow, flourish, and fulfill its mission. Because that's what all of us want. And I'm deeply honored to do all its work.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Jess.
Is it a reasonable thing to ask, especially since I know the sentiment here is that the local, at least a large part of the sentiment here is that the local boards manage the stations. Is it reasonable to ask the...
Not govern the station. Hire and fire the manager and approve the budget of the GM.
That's very sufficient.
Okay. Right.
Hire, fire, review, and evaluate.
Okay, whatever we want to call it. Hire and fire, review, and evaluate the general manager and the program directors at the station. And sort of really, not drastically, but alter the position of the executive director. Would it be a reasonable thing, and I'm just asking, to talk to the people who do those jobs now, to have them come in and talk about how they think they would be affected and what the outcome would be. I mean, we're presenting what we think will happen. I'm just curious about the people who are actually doing the work, how they think this kind of thing would shake out. I don't know if that's real. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right now there's only one here.
I don't know. Yes. Well, I would like to hear from other programmers, but specifically the executive director, the GMs, and the program director.
Maybe at another time because we're here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could I just say something to that? I think one of the things that we've tried to do throughout this process is to stay disciplined and uninvolved for a variety of different reasons, but I think primarily for the integrity and credibility of the bylaws review process, that it be have that legitimacy that it'll need in order for the foundation to move forward. So we have been very respectful and disciplined of the process, and I think it's important that we maintain that approach. However, if there would be a request for input from existing managers, it should probably be done in a very structured way. Having said that, I would make a couple of points or a couple of observations about some of the discussion tonight. One is that I think one of the things that I've learned over the last 9 or 10 months is that we have, what is the phrase, our eyes are bigger than our stomachs frequently. The capacity of this organization is limited. And there's a contradiction because on the one hand we have 500 to 600 producers, programmers. We're producing programming 24/7, 168 hours a week and 5 stations. And so there's this incredible volume of production happening on the one hand. But on the other hand, there's literally, traditionally, there's 7 administrators of this entire organization, the so-called administrative council of 5 general managers, the controller, and the executive director. So that's an incredible difficulty in any serious way administering the network by the paid administration. So when we talk about doing things like having local station, whether local governing boards, whether we agree with them or not, or when we look at questions around budgeting and hiring and firing, and that is a service that requires administration and the capacity of the organization to do that or even to carry out. And I think, Rob, you were talking about this at the last bylaws meeting in another way about the old bylaws and what was wrong with the old bylaws and whether, in fact, they were even adhered to. Was part of the problem. And I think, you know, this question of capacity has to really be thought through before a whole new set of obligations are placed upon an institution which may not even be able to physically carry them out. That's one issue. Another issue is what Charles just touched on, which I know we've all thought about over the years, but really we have to deal with this contradiction, which is that we want to disaggregate power. We want to have some accountability and democratization of the network on the one hand. But on the other hand, we live in a capitalist society where we're licensing stations, public property from the federal government that requires a certain set of procedures. That is to say, ultimately, it's a national board, the Pacifica Foundation, that is held accountable by the FCC and the CPB, but primarily the FCC, to a whole set of rules and regulations which we can't even comprehend. They are so specific, so clear, but certainly starting from the language we use on the air to how many people, to where you placed ads to recruit general managers or any position in your station. So you have this contradiction that we're going to have to deal with about responsibility, authority, and accountability with a federal organization, a federally funded and federally regulated organization. And that's going to be a problem. And right away, I can see that clash is going to happen. That has happened in the decades past in Pacifica's history. It's granted, it's been used as an excuse to amass tremendous, some people say, power in few hands, but it is a problem that we're going to have to deal with. And I already see it emerging to some degree in many of the relationships that we're trying to develop around the system, where we're very careful both of the necessity to be responsible and accountable on the one hand, but also on the other hand to try to bring people into the process. The most immediate experience, I think, has been with these search committees where we're trying to, you know, involve a lot of people, upwards of 18 or something in New York with this process. But on the other hand, there's certain people such as this board that is ultimately held responsible for that process being legal or abiding by FCC regs or whatever the case might be. So these are just two observations apart from a more specific technical discussion about general managers and business managers about their thoughts and views about the bylaws. I think those thoughts would be welcome, though I think it's also important that we do it in a really structured and disciplined way that does not compromise the a kind of neutrality that I think senior administrators ought to have in this process.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say, if we're going to do that, we better figure out how to do it real quick. You know, like in the next few weeks.
We don't have 2 weeks.
We don't have 2 weeks?
No, we've got this weekend.
Right. I mean, one problem is not all the managers are going to be here, although, just so people know, I urged all the managers to try and be here. There was obviously no mandate, no requirement, but clearly what the bylaws are going to be is going to have an impact on the work they do every day, whatever models we have, whatever the details are. So, you know, we have been encouraging them to, you know, to stay in this process and to try and be here this weekend. I believe Eva is due here.
Yeah, tonight.
And Tony is due here sometime tomorrow. I'm not sure what time. So, you know, there will be more of the managers will be here. But, yeah.
Legally, always, the National Board of Directors is responsible for everything that happens. And, in fact, can't be held personally, financially accountable. So that's something everybody needs to know when we're putting this together. The vision that we came up with at KPFA was that the local station boards would be formed as committees of the national board, would be designated as committees, and their authority would derive from the national board. So that there is a clear delegation of authority through a committee structure, which is quite common in corporate structure and in other national nonprofits. The ACLU does it that way, for instance. But I don't think that when we talk about local governance, we're talking about local irresponsibility or local failure to adhere to the requirements of the FCC. We're talking about a local committee of the national board that is on site and is a lot more responsible, perhaps, than a national board that is so remote that we don't know and cannot oversee what's going on locally. So perhaps it's a more responsible board. And it also, I think, frees up the national board and the national executive director to do these things like expand, to talk about what's going on in Ohio, how to develop our affiliate system in such a way so that Pacifica is having an impact nationally and perhaps internationally. Frees us up, I think.
Rob?
Well, just a couple of observations. There are a lot of things that are emerging. I think one of the good things about the bylaws process, and we've never done this at Pacifica before, is that the more we on the board have talked about this issue with those of you in the bylaws revisions groups, I think we begin to see more of the whole picture the more we talk about this. And I think we're beginning to understand the fact that really we're kind of in an evolutionary stage. To me, one of the things that I've observed having been on the board is that we have never had, from what I've, and maybe Carol's research into the minutes tells us something different, we've never really had a board of directors at Pacifica that has understood and been aggressive in exercising its fiduciary responsibilities. We've always wanted a board of directors that will pretty much stamp out what an executive director or a chair says. And that's really the way we've been run. And we have never allowed the local advisory boards to exercise any kind of power or advisory relationship responsibility. We haven't been clear as an organization of what the responsibility is from the listeners to the local boards to the station management to the governing board to the executive director and the chair. And as a result of our confusion about those roles and relationships, we have really allowed ourselves not so much to be taken over by the outside, but we've taken ourselves down, you know, in previous administrations from the inside. So I think once we understand that one of the responsibilities of these bylaws is to be evolutionary, you can't keep going in with your articles of incorporation. If we started changing the mission every couple of years, we'd be out of business very quickly. On the other hand, the bylaws should be a document, a policy document, that we're comfortable of going in regularly with the listeners and the local station boards to make sure we bring them up to snuff. On the other hand, what we've seen in the process of doing the bylaws is that different people want to look at a different aspect of the foundation differently. For example, we've got people that really like to write language like the Declaration of Independence, and we've got some people that want to write language like the Constitution. We've got some people that want to write legislation, and we've got some people that are really wound up about regulatory language to implement, you know, legislation. All of those things are things that we have to do, not just in the bylaws. Much of it's going to have to be in guidelines and procedures or standing rules. I'm sorry, I got that word wrong, Ted. And I think that's what we're talking about doing. But there are, you know, there really are some dynamics that we keep coming up to in the organization. For example, I think one of the things that the Unity Caucus from New York proposal, the constituent election model brings up, is that there is an ambivalence and a tension in this organization about how we go about controlling the power that determines who goes in front of the microphones. And that's something that we as an organization have to keep working to get straight. We're not going to solve it in one election. Elections in itself aren't going to solve it. So the point is that there are some tensions and some trade-offs in this organization that we're going to have to learn to work with each other to develop. But the fact of the matter is, the more we can listen to each other and talk to each other and stop seeing each other as foreigners or as people who want to usurp our power or whose vision doesn't make room for us, you know, the more we can get out of that mode, you know, the more we can move this organization forward. And although this has been a difficult process, we are doing that. And many of us on the board who have bitter disagreements are finding more and more things that we can talk about with better information once we shut our mouths a little bit and listen or read. The other thing is that there is a real, right now, this is a particular time, all of us go back to our community. I'm from Washington, D.C. I go back there and I see a government that's ready to take the entire country to war without understanding that one of the problems, one of the tendencies of our governments have been for hundreds of years, that we've made war on people in this country constantly. This making war is simply a way of changing the focus on your own failures to live with people peaceably. You know, and when we come to Houston, we see examples, we see symbols of what happens when capitalism, when you change the rules a little bit and it really becomes larceny and piracy and felony, you know, and in some cases murder. So I think the good thing about Pacifica is that our voices are helping us, you know, at our stations are helping us to understand how we can create better communities, which is what we're trying to do here. But the thing that we also have to understand with that responsibility comes the need to make
more people aware of these facts. I mean, we're very comfortable, but there are many, many people out there that don't get the Pacifica message. And that's another reason why we need to listen to the concerns that are raised within, you know, the constituency model, because the reality is that there are more people in more states and more cities that can't get the message, because we have to find more ways to overcome the limitations that we have with our five stations, with the 168 hours, with the budgets we have. You know, and so there are a lot of these relationships that we're coming to understand, and I think let's just keep building, you know, and when we come up to conflict, let's not walk away from it and assume that it means that we're, you know, our visions are not there. Let's try to work our way through it to a better, you know, a better approach, because I think we're going to come out of this much stronger, and the next time we have a bylaws convention in 2004, whenever it is, we're going to have a lot of people that have a much better understanding of what they're there to do. So all I would say is, as difficult as this has been, and as much as we're not going to be able to put into this document of what we personally feel for Pacifica, there's going to be a lot from everybody in this room and from everybody that's come to any of these meetings in that document, more than has ever been there before. Thanks.
Can I... if I could, I just want to call myself again for a minute. I want to give an example about what I mean by power sharing around this, and it comes down. I want to use the example about the general managers and the hiring and firing and evaluation of the general managers, and why I think that should not be left just in the hands of the local boards. I do believe the local board should have a core, central, I don't know what language to use, major, significant, important, you know, heavy-duty role in the hiring, in the evaluation, in firing, in all aspects of the life of the general manager. That is the life at the station. But I also think there is a role for the representative of the national, and in particular I mean the executive director, who was hired in order to help coordinate a lot of the national work, and be kind of the point person for the national board in a lot of ways, that help carry out the decisions of the national board in those processes of hiring and evaluating and firing. And it's not because I know even what all the FCC requirements are, and it's not because I know or don't know the particulars of California corporate law. It's because of what I was saying before about wanting a strong national organization. I think that one of the things that I have seen begin to happen more and more, and hopefully will grow even in a bigger way, is that the general managers are talking to each other, and the program directors are talking to each other, that there's that cross-fertilization and reinforcing of each other and helping each other do the work and share ideas and resources even get shared. And there needs to be some way, for instance, when a general manager needs to be hired at a station, that somebody has an overview, has a clear, good, strong picture of what is happening at the four other stations in terms of those general managers. That's what I mean by power sharing, that somebody from the national vantage point is able to interact with that local board, who has a much clearer handle, obviously, on the day-to-day ins and outs of that station, that those pieces are put together in order to then figure out how to hire, who to hire, what the process is for hiring, and who the person is, and in the evaluation, and should it be necessary to make a determination to fire somebody. That's why I don't want something like that totally in any one place, either totally in the hands of national or totally in the hands of the local board. That's why I want it shared. That's why I have not been comfortable with the use of local governing boards. And similarly, you know, on budget stuff, I think that that's the other arena where there needs to be a tremendous amount of coordination and interaction. And I hope the business managers start talking to each other more and interacting in that way. So that's just one example of what I meant by power sharing.
Leslie, if I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Pritikoff. I just wanted to address a different issue that keeps arising. I mean, we do have limited resources. Everyone in this room is here because we're all really devoted to this extraordinarily vital resource. This it was earlier said to be really the gentleman from Connected Dots was here, and he was very, very accurate, I think, in his extraordinarily strong description of the importance of Pacifica. We got limited resources, as Dan said. We got next to nothing, except for we have huge resources in the human beings that are animating this extraordinary effort, and that is the ultimate resource. People have said that Democracy Now! Is our biggest asset. No. It's one of our most popular programs, certainly. But you're our biggest asset. I don't mean just the people in this room, although you are amazing. What I am getting at, however, is how we have squandered that resource in so many ways. And we can talk about how we've done this wrong and that wrong, and that's not really necessary. It's important. It's not so productive. But I need to address something I think is one of the biggest and unnecessary squanderings. And it goes to the core of Pacifica. And I think it's the fact that there is competition for different views, and there is disagreement. And as Ray and others have said, and Carol, we need to recognize that in our discussions, a resolution needs to be obtained, and we need to move forward. And sometimes that resolution is not what we thought was the best idea, and we're uncomfortable with that, and we have to move on and recognize that and deal with that. Certainly as a white man, I'm comfortable with getting my way. I'm not comfortable with not getting my way. And, well, tough stuff, you know. I mean, we're going to move on. And there's a lot of things that we're going to get angry about with each other. We're going to disagree. We're going to argue. We're going to yell. We're going to be upset. And we're going to be very upset and have great difficulty in dealing with one another after we've been very upset with one another. And when we've said things to one another that make it really difficult for us to work together down the road, we have made a huge mistake. And we have really violated the fundamental ethic, I think, a fundamental ethic of Pacifica. And that is creating an environment and a manner of interacting with one another that enables us to be really pissed off and really angry and really betrayed and really upset, and yet we can still work together because, you know, frankly, as much difference as we find amongst ourselves on things, there are no differences in comparison to what's going on in the world. We have such shared goals in the larger picture that when we get into the minutiae of organizational dynamics and of issues relating to diversity and structure and power sharing and programming and influence and so forth and so on and who's a member, compared to the things that we share, these are nothing in the way of differences. Yet we have found ourselves split and unable to interact. There are people that I have real difficulty working with in this movement because I've been so angered, not because of necessarily what they've done, but because of what I've done too, in the sense of things that I've said and done with regards to other people that make it really difficult for me to sit down and put my arm on them and say, hey, well, you know, yeah, we disagreed about that, but let's work together on some of the things that we agree with. We see each other in demonstrations. We see each other in working in political work and in community work. But in Pacifica, oh, don't talk to that person. They're bad. You know, that's childish, and it's unfortunate. But we are childish, and we are unfortunate in many ways. But I think that we need to recognize that lively argument, anger and that sort of thing is okay, but and civility doesn't mean politeness. No, we can be pissed off, we can be rude. Don't pull chairs out from people when they're about to sit down and things like that. But but we can be rude and be inconsiderate in some ways. But when we start engaging in internet and in personal discussions and telephones on the air, particularly on the air, in personal attacks upon one another, in belittling one another, in interfering with each other's personal lives, in trying to actually harm people by sending out emails that characterize people. And you know, people often shade them and act very cute and say, well, no, it wasn't quite defamation because I said, oh, it's like the joke. Oh, Your Honor, if I think you're a son of a gun, I'm being nice. Are we on the air? Son of a gun. If I think you're a son of a gun, would you hold me in contempt? No, because you can think whatever you want. But what if I said you're a son of a gun? Well, I'd hold you in contempt. Well, Your Honor, I think you're a son of a gun. I didn't say the joke well, but the point is that that shading it, still the point gets out that when you shade things on internet and in conversation and you say, well, I kind of think you're a son of a gun, or I kind of think that this person is a hijacker or a thief, or a liar and someone who's betraying us, then we are saying that they are those things. And when we say they are those things, we become those things ourselves. And I think we need to really, when we have colleagues who engage in this kind of conduct, if we don't stand up and say, stop that, then we are complicit in it. And I will criticize the
And I will criticize the Pacifica campaign, not as an entity in and of itself, but those participants in the Pacifica campaign who thought it was a really good thing to hurt people in order to try to drive them out of the movement. If we engage in that kind of conduct of trying to harm people economically or socially or personally or otherwise in order to achieve a victory over them in a political dispute, then we have betrayed ourselves. Thank you.
That was different.
Yeah. No. The ends do not justify. I personally believe, I ain't trying to tell you what the reality is. I am really committed to this notion. The ends never justify the means. The ends never justify the means. And if we remain principled and we get hurt, we're principled. If we remain unprincipled and we get hurt, we deserve it.
Okay. It's 20 to 10. We're right on schedule. But, I mean, are there any other comments that anybody on the board wants to make? Okay, I hope this was helpful. I found it really interesting. So thank you, Shabari, for testing it. Tomorrow morning we do have to really, as I said, we're going to begin at 9 because we have to end at 5 tomorrow. So everybody go read the document again.
Gonna have some great food.
No food.